Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Probably not going to elaborate at this time and in this space, but I just want to say that Chuck Morgan is freaking awesome, and I love him for so many different reasons. Right now, courtesy of Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers, Ford is the best in Texas. It is time to talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
And we've decided that this is the best spot for you going forward, so we can feature you and you can get your morning pomp on and everything like that. So, is that a good way to put it? That's how I choose to
or
put
maybe,
it.
Or maybe my morning workout, right?
Sure.
Without rushing here and making sure there's no traffic problems.
Well, this is perfect. We'll have you at 11 o'clock going forward.
And then I won't get in the way of Bochy or...
Jerry.
Jerry.
Yeah.
Also on Fridays.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Just get me out of the way.
All right. Now, I talked about this with Corey yesterday, and I'm going to phrase it to you. I don't actually think this is a question, but I'm going to pitch it to you nonetheless. This Giants team kind of sucks, huh?
Yeah. So too many people are jumping on that, right?
Oh, okay.
I mean, what have the Cowboys done?
And
that's what I caution everybody.
Okay, I get you.
Because everything has changed, like, in one loss. You know, this is still a 7-10 team from last year. It's still 0-1 this year. They lost the game they should have won. And just because the Cowboys have this history of beating the Giants, it's not this team beating the Giants, right?
I am guilty of, I am one of those people, we've talked about this before, Mickey, I do sometimes fall into that category.
Yeah, like, oh, you know, this could be a trap game. It's like, trap what? The Cowboys haven't proven anything yet. So, yeah, I would be careful with going there. Now, do I think the Giants... You know, after watching them in the first game, feel encouraged? Probably not. You know, they obviously struggled. They struggled at the quarterback position. If you consider Russell Wilson completed 17 of 37 passes for 168 yards with a quarterback rating of 59.3.
And I think that completion percentage was like the fifth or sixth lowest of his career.
Yeah. And you know what? And 11 of the 17 completions were to wide receivers. The rest were to tight ends and running backs. So, and the other thing is, not only did he get sacked twice, not only did they have 8 quarterback hits, but they also had, what was the other stat I had?
Pressures?
Pressures were quite a bit. So, yeah, he was under duress most of the game, and I don't know if that had to do with him or the protection, but it might, protection-wise, not get any better this week since Andrew Thomas, their starting left tackle, who missed the opener, and he's still not practicing, or he didn't practice yesterday. So that doesn't help their protection cause one bit if he can't get on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. Now,
So go ahead and say it. That's all right.
Okay, great. And I will show you a copy of my notes where I wrote, this Giants team sucks. So yesterday, unrelated to all of this, Jadeveon Clowney comes and goes. I've heard maybe it's probable he won't sign, but I know the Cowboys also said he's on his own tour. Have you heard any insight to perhaps like interest level?
Well, the last thing I heard was, yeah, the Cowboys were interested in. And then when you see the guy, you know, he was here all day,
right?
You know, watch practice.
Right.
And then he leaves. That to me suggests, and I don't know this, that the money wasn't right. Like he wasn't getting what he wanted.
Sure.
And you know, and the Cowboys don't have to overextend themselves, even though you've got some money under the cap to spend if you want, and to the point you could absorb a mistake or two. I don't think you just start throwing money at a guy that's been on five teams in 6 years.
I think most people would agree with you on that. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not paying top dollar or whatever he's looking for. So my guess is, yeah, he's still looking for maybe more. You know, last year Carolina spoiled him, right? 2 years, $20 million, $12 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
That ain't happening.
I don't even want to pay him medium dollar. So yeah,
I'm serious. I'm like with you. Two or three and incentives, right?
Yeah,
something
yeah.
like that. That's what I would do, but it's not my money.
Yeah, that's a good point. What I threw out is I would have loved to see something somewhat similar to the Javonte Williams contract in
yeah.
terms of guaranteed and overall incentives and everything like
that. And I bet that's what the Cowboys had in mind.
I have no doubt. I think we've both seen this, how this team does certain financial things.
Right.
Now, the one bit of bad news, and hopefully it's not as bad as it initially sounded, but Daron Bland didn't practice, and then as the day went along, it sounded like the Cowboys are probably counting on being without him for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I heard multiple weeks. So think about this. If you counted up like how they likely went to training camp at cornerback, if I gave you their top six guys that they would have considered at corner, four of them are not available.
Ooh.
So we can start with Bland.
Yep.
Kalen Carson ended up on IR.
Yep.
Josh Butler ended up on IR.
Yep.
And Savon Revel is still on NFI.
And I would even make an argument to a certain extent about Diggs just because you only got him a third of the game.
Well, I got an asterisk by him.
Okay.
So it's Diggs and Kaiir Elam, and I put Diggs ramping up.
Okay.
So, you know, 27 snaps in the first game and basically just playing nickel on the outside corner, right?
Right.
So Bland could move inside. So now, to me, he's got to go. You know, you got to put him out there. And so that means Diggs and Elam, and now I got to have somebody in the slot. Well, last week, you know, if something had happened, Reddy Steward was going to be the next guy in the slot. So he may have to step up into the slot with all these injuries. And then the next corner, well, Traquez, how do I say, Traquez Bridges?
Yeah.
And then you might have to bring up Childress. And you'll have to anyway, right? Because you're going to need another corner available. And so, yeah, that's getting pretty darn thin. And, you know, I don't care if you're in man or zone. You know, you still cornerbacks, you still got to play. And so last week when they elevated guys from the practice squad, it was Flannoy and Buddy Johnson. And Buddy Johnson played 42 snaps on special teams. So I would imagine they're going to wear out his elevations till they get to three. And if they got to go with Childress, then I would imagine Flannoy, who only had 26 special team snaps, is probably not being elevated.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but yeah, this is a, you know, this is a problem that the lack of experience depth at the cornerback position.
And so we talk about kind of like the symbiotic nature of defense. Does that add extra pressure to the defensive line or the defense in general to get quicker pressure or get more pressure on Russell Wilson to hopefully not leave those routes open as long?
Yeah, the same amount of pressure that they had in the first game. Just make sure the quarterback doesn't get outside the pocket.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Make sure you stay in your lanes. It's got to be a contained pass rush. Because as we saw, I know what the other stat on Wilson was. He ended up running 8 times for 44 yards. Hmm. Those weren't designed runs.
Sure.
So that's another indication of their lack of pass protection. So the other thing is, you know, He looked like he was pulling it down at the first sign of danger. So you better keep him in the pocket, too, because he was the leading rusher in that game for the Giants. That's how much trouble they had running the football. And if you looked at last week, the leading rusher for the Eagles was the quarterback.
Yeah.
So you can't have that. You just can't have that. So I think it was important last week with the pressure, and I think it's as important, as you pointed out, if not more, this week, to get controlled pressure on Russell Wilson.
And I know, obviously, a lot of people talk about, you know, pressure coming off of, whether it's like a cornerback blitz or off the edge, but Osa had the fourth highest pass rush win rate inside. And that feels like another thing that, not that people don't care about, but sometimes it gets lost when we talk about pressures.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, how did they say it? No guests on defense.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
No guests in the middle either.
Yeah.
You know, let's go. And I think one of the things that you'll probably see, especially needing pressure up the middle, is at times with the number of, well, I don't know that it's an experienced number, but number of pass rushers on the outside. You know, in training camp, I saw Sam Williams rushing inside on a nickel situation, and Nealon can move inside also. If you know you're in a definite passing situation, so you can put more of your pass rushers on the outside. And that's also a possibility to create pressure when it's third and obvious passing downs.
Thank you very much, good sir. We will catch up at the end tomorrow after Jerry.
After Jerry.
That's so right.
Better a lot of, listen, right?
Yeah, you need to be listening at all times, maybe.
Right, just every time, right?
Exactly.
Okay,
there
I
you
will.
Go.
See ya.
Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I wanted to throw this out there and get y'all's feel for it. And Alec, obviously, I'm going to start with you. I realize you are younger, significantly younger than I am.
Well,
and so it might not make as much of a difference to you. But yesterday, Darren Revelle, we've had on the show before, said, if your team brought back paper tickets, how much would you be willing to pay before the game for a physical ticket? And the options were nothing, $5, $10, and $20. And so obviously we've talked a whole lot about it. I am definitely romantic about the paper ticket and everything like that, and I've saved a whole bunch of them. But I want to start with you, and then I want to get the people's feedback, 877-881-1053, Frankel and Frankel, injury attorney, text line. Would you be willing to pay anything for the return of the paper tickets?
Yes, because I have. And it's been an option before for certain events that I've been to. The one that most notably comes to mind is Money in the Bank 2021.
Yes.
At Dickies Arena. Yes. Ticketmaster had it. You know, they try to get you to do ticket protection. And then, hey, do you want to go ahead and get your parking out of the way so you can give us more money? You know, all those little extras. They actually had an option for a physical ticket. And they will mail it to you. And then that becomes your point of entry, like what you're going to use to get into the venue. So I was like, yeah, you know, this is the first, you know, post-pandemic PLE.
Right.
I want to be there. I want to have something from it. So
me
I did.
And Kevin Gray were in a WWE promo because
of
that show.
I was so jealous. And I was up pretty much behind the stage. And yeah, I got the physical tickets and I still have it hanging on my wall because that was one of my favorite shows ever. And when I went to the Linkin Park concert last year, that was part of the VIP package, was you got like a laminated ticket as part of the package. So I'm sentimental about that stuff. I love having stuff to recall memories and to just either hang on the wall, just keep in a binder, what have you. I really enjoy the idea of having something to take home after those memorable events. Of course, I remember it, but I want something to show that I was there. And it's a cool flex when friends come over like, oh yeah, you watched that? I was there, you know? So I
do you say it just like that?
I do.
That sounded a little creepy.
Yes, I do. I do got to rub it in people's faces a little bit whenever I'm able to experience those things that they're like, nah, I'm better off. Like, I'll save the money. And then something really cool happens. I'm
right.
Like, you could have been there with me, sitting next to me, but you chose not to.
Now, the results of the poll were, I don't know, I was still surprised, but only 3% said they would pay $20. 4% said they would pay $10 for a physical ticket. 18% said they would pay $5 for the physical ticket. But the overwhelming amount of people, 75% of the people said they would be willing to pay nothing for the return of the physical ticket. Now, I know this is just one poll on one person's Twitter account, but that is pretty darn overwhelming. And I wonder if that kind of attitude will undercut the return of the physical ticket.
It makes me sad, honestly. I understand people don't want to spend more money. And to a lot of people, it's probably just a piece of paper. But to me, it actually does hold a little bit of extra value just because it's something cool to have down the road.
Yeah, and I do see multiple people, like, I get this. I wish I had a paper ticket from the World Series, or if it was a Rangers playoff game, or if I'm going to Beltray's.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
3,000th hit, and that's why he asked before the game, because you might just be going to, as one texter said, just your run-of-the-mill Wednesday night game, and you're not thinking anything of it. But then if somebody throws a no-hitter, you're like, oh man, or somebody hits four home runs, like, I really wish I would have had a physical ticket for that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus pro wrestling fans, UFC fans. It's not getting any cheaper. Next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Remember, tomorrow, split shifts for us. I will be doing the show live from Las Vegas as we get ready for the Canelo and Crawford fight, while Alec and Corey will be holding it down at Taco Bueno in Arlington off of North Collins. Lots of giveaways there, including the Tolo trucker hat. So that is great news. But so is this, because it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, combat sports fans, pro wrestling fans, it's not going to get any cheaper.
I heard this quote. Yeah,
it's an awful quote. So I know we're going to get to it later in the show. You thought what Adam Silver said was bad, but this might be worse. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. But Hagee, Tolos, Corey, if you're out there in the beyond, the question of the day.
He exists.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, he's alive.
Thank God. I wanted to party with him tomorrow at Taco Bueno.
He'll be there.
That makes me happy. But I was scrolling the internet, as one does, doom scrolling last night after the Ranger game, and I came across this Reddit thread that was actually really intriguing. And the question was, what's something you tried once and you instantly decided never again? 877-881-1053, Twitch and YouTube available for you. Because there's some really like simple responses in the thread. Like someone said sailing, like nothing against it, but it's just not meant for everyone. And then there's some awful challenges.
I know what it is. Oh my gosh. It should be the cinnamon challenge.
Yeah.
Like I know that's not like it's particularly prevalent now.
Sure.
But I remember we did that for a peace-a-thon, and then Corey had not lost a challenge all day. As soon as I ate the cinnamon, he goes, "You know what? I'll just take the loss on this one." And I tried to say what? And like a puff of cinnamon came out of my mouth. Like it looked like I was a cartoon that ran away, you know, with a little puff of smoke left behind. So that was pretty terrible, but I think it's roller coasters with a loop in them. So back in the day, the flashback, and I understand the physics of why we don't all fall out, but I still had a really hard time with it. And so when we're looping upside down, I was like death gripped on that thing, thinking if you don't, you're going to fall down and then the roller coaster is going to loop back around and run you over and you're going to die. Well, you'd probably be dead either way. But yeah, so roller coasters, I like roller coasters, but with a loop, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the exact ride, but it's leaving me right now. At Disney in Orlando, I went there for my 20th birthday, and I had bought some stuff at one of the gift shops in Galaxy's Edge. I got a replica lightsaber, among other things, and I went on a ride after that that my sister was like, we have to go on this one. It's so much fun. Went there, and there was a loop on the coaster, and they had like a tiny little net for your personal belongings. Oh, and I asked them, I was like, hey, is this lightsaber going to like stay? Because it's in a big box. I'm like, is that going to stay? And they're like, oh, yeah, don't worry. It'll be fine. You know, like the inertia and all that. They're explaining the science of it to me. I'm like, I don't trust you. Can I just like leave it here? No, you actually exit in a different part, so you can't come back and get it. I'm like, okay, so I just got to trust the netting here. And they're like, yeah, it'll be fine. I kept my feet pressed against that net the entire ride. I did not enjoy the ride at all.
Right.
Because I was so focused on that, what, $250 lightsaber or whatever?
Yes.
Not flying out on the loop where we went upside down. So I am right there with you for a totally different reason. Ever since then, I'm like, I need to save all my shopping for after we are done because I don't want to lose a great investment.
Yeah.
From the 817 scuba diving. Glad I did it, but never going to do it again.
Okay, that is intriguing. I might want to follow up with that person because I've never done scuba diving either because I'm not really a beach person. My wife loves the beach. Me, I'm like, if we go to the beach for one day, I think that's neat. But if it's like a beach vacation, I'm like, we did this yesterday. So that's not really for me. But I am intrigued by the idea of scuba diving.
Let's see. I see coleslaw from the 817. I like just the petty food take. That's probably my favorite thing. Everybody knows whenever there's like some sort of barbecue place or a chicken place, you know, that has it, you sub it out. That's my go-to. You get something else. Get yourself a better side. There's a better like purpose for your money.
Is coleslaw at the bottom of your side power rankings then?
Oh, probably. If it's not at the bottom, it's absolutely near the bottom.
Okay,
that's for sure. It's overrated as all hell. Like it's not disgusting. I just the people who act like it's the greatest thing on the world, like on the planet. I'm like, what, have you tried food outside of that?
Okay,
like I promise there's better things out there.
Okay, Alec, can I throw one out there that
yes,
I see in the fan text?
Please,
I loved it, but I get it. From the 214, my favorite team's championship parade. It's crowded. You smell pee everywhere. It's hard to find places to park. And when the event is over, it's really difficult to leave. I had the most fun ever at the Rangers parade. But also, we were set up in a designated area.
Yeah.
And I had to get there super duper early for work anyways. But to put it in perspective, my older son showed up there. I told him where I was. He could not get to me because everybody thought he was trying to like take their spot.
Sure.
And so I could see how that's not for everybody.
Yeah, that was a interesting situation because I was there as well. And I got there with a lot of the fans at like 5:30 in the morning because we wanted to see what, you know, was going on that early. And there was people out there selling merch and, you know, whatnot. And it was like, okay, people are actually out here. And then I ended up getting the credential and going inside. I was like, okay, I can actually breathe a little bit. But like you said, I had to flash the necklace to everybody and
yes,
be like, I'm not trying to steal your spot. I'm trying to get to where I'm working on a project. I was in college at the time. So I'm like, I'm trying to get a grade. I'm trying to pass a class and graduate. Okay. Chill.
Okay. I understand the people who did not have this experience 100%. The other thing I will never, ever forget as long as I live is there's so many Tolos out there. And we're like, not crowd surfing because the physics of that would be tough. But
sure.
But I was like running and like jump, kind of shoulder bumping all these people in the crowd up against the barrier and everything. And it was awesome. And then the moment, Alec, this is my favorite moment. I asked if anybody had a water. People yelled to get me water as if I was on fire. I was like, no, I just wanted some water to drink. And they're like, get us some water right now. And I'm like, I'm not in any immediate danger whatsoever. I would just appreciate if anybody had an extra water. Man. But everyone was so helpful.
That was like the one and only time I will probably ever feel like Stone Cold Steve Austin, where I was walking around, and it's all thanks to Broadus, because he pulled me over because, you know, he was drowning in his Tito's, as he said, one of Peyton's favorite drops. But we were kind of walking around just chatting with people, and Broadus is over here, get this man a beer! And so people just start chucking beers to me, and I'm like, what in the world is happening? A drunk dude asked me to sign his can of Twisted Tea. I'm like,
oh,
okay.
I love it.
I'm like, this is amazing. Like, this is probably the one and only time I will ever experience this feeling. It was incredible. All right. From the 817, they said, Jerry Jones says the NFC championship game. All right.
Oh, yeah.
That's not cool. That's not cool.
That's fair.
Are you wrong? Not going to say you're wrong. Is that...
They did that four times.
Yeah, that's unnecessary. Again, the question of the day, 877-881-1053. What is something you tried once and instantly decided never again? There's a lot of spicy food takes here. From the 940, guacamole. No clue how anyone eats that stuff.
Ooh. Oh, mine is tea.
Yep, I'm right there with you.
Oh,
right there with
disgusting.
You.
Disgusting.
You will never convert me to being a tea fan. And the only time I drink any kind of variety of tea is if it's to help regain my voice.
Okay.
That's the only time.
Actually, you know what? Yeah, I guess I have to take that back then, because I've done that as well. Like, I really like the show Ted Lasso, but low-key, one of my favorite parts of that is what a trash drink he thought tea was.
That's amazing. And from the 817, this is just petty and I love it. Going to Portland. It was fun, but that was enough. That might be one of my favorite texts.
In your face,
ever.
Gavin Dawson.
Yeah, Portland. It was fun, but that was enough. And sometimes, sometimes you have that experience where you're like, yeah, I don't need to do that again. And that's exactly that is the premise of this segment. From the 737, 7-day cruise, one and done. I don't know if I could do a 7-day.
Yeah, we went on a 7-day cruise, and that was the cruise where people legitimately thought I was in rehab, and I was like, no, I'm okay, but I appreciate it. I thought it was fun, but I also don't mind that kind of like sense of isolation. I know some people got antsy on the days where you're just at sea and there's no port to stop off and anything.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's see, from the 682, hot chip challenge with this was the stupidest thing I have ever done, and I will never do it again. From the 682, I had the pleasure of being on the night show when Zach and Eric were still on it, and because my dad at the time went through a huge phase, it was the pandemic.
Is he still your dad?
Yes, he is, but okay. He went through a phase of, like, you know, during the pandemic, we all got new interests and new hobbies because we needed to kill time.
True.
He made his own beef jerky, and so he decided one time, hey, y'all keep doing these crazy food challenges. I'm going to make Carolina Reaper beef jerky.
Oh,
and
no.
You're going to take it up to the studio and you guys are going to do it. Dude. And I've never felt pain like that in my life. That was awful. I'm sure Zach and Eric still probably have great memories about it. I remember getting text messages from Eric at like 2 a.m, like, my stomach is turning. That was awful. Your dad sounds like a great guy, but he tried to kill us.
I didn't know that. Oh my God, that scared the crap out of me. I didn't know Corey has arrived. I didn't know water made it worse, or most certainly did not make it any better. I tried to drink a whole bunch of water and Colby started filming, and I should have known that was a problem. And I was supposed to drink milk.
Man, and then Kevin, I'm going to read this just because, you know, it's going to rage bait both of us. Our buddy Zero, Zach Rowe, texted and said, final answer, WWE.
Oh,
look, I get it's not for some people, but we don't got to hate on it and act
it's
like
fun
it's
to
not
go watch.
Dude, in person, I'm telling you, it's intoxicating.
Yeah.
Like, you get hooked That's what I tell everyone. And that's what people we've had on the show from the company, from AEW, from WWE have said, just take them to one show. It'll change their mind. And what a great segue. Mm. Thank you, Zero. Still got that radio DNA in them. And that brings me to Mark Shapiro. He's one of the big wigs of TKO, who owns WWE and UFC now. He's actually the COO of TKO. And he was speaking at the annual Goldman Sachs technology conference yesterday. And he was asked a little bit about the ticket prices for both UFC and WWE. And he said, quote, WWE is not where the UFC is yet on ticket yield. So just overall sales, we have our work to do there. And he explained a little bit more. And I think this is honestly disgusting. He said, quote, we know we have a lot of room there because Vince McMahon, who formerly ran the company, was primarily pricing tickets for families and wasn't totally focused on maxing the opportunity there. Now that we've seen what we can do with UFC, we're replicating that in terms of ticket yield and holding back on advanced sales when it comes to on location on the WWE side, and it's working out really well, end quote. So basically, he said, we're not targeting families to come in anymore. We're targeting the sickos that are going to pay whatever we tell them to pay.
It's not too often as of late that you find yourself wanting to be on the wrong side of a Vince McMahon opinion.
Yes. That's the best way to put it, because I was like, man.
For them for doing that.
I saw somebody tweet. They're like, there's no way TKO found a way to get a face turn for Vince McMahon. In 2025, in one small area, in one very small subject, but they basically said, we don't want to bring the families in anymore. We're going after the high-paying customer.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Hey, who are you rooting for? Plus,
I'm back!
The return of that man next on The Fan.
Gonna give it to Samuel. End around. Looking for blocks. Gets him. Samuel is in! Touchdown, Commanders!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. Jerry Jones is going to be on our station tomorrow at 10:30 a.m., but I think perhaps an equally, maybe even a bigger tune-in, 1 o'clock today. One of the more shocking C-blocks you're ever going to hear. And, man, if you like explanations.
She's okay. We'll leave it at that, and then we'll explain the rest at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. 1 o'clock.
I promise she's okay.
All right.
I hope.
Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Mm-doop.
Dip it and rip it.
Yeah. Especially it's your wife's eye.
Hey.
All right. Sorry. We need to stay focused here. Now, we didn't get a chance to mention this yesterday, but I just wanted to run through the data real quick. The NFL rule changes when it comes to the kickoff, at least in week one, made a huge difference. We talked about the ball coming out now to the 35. And in terms of the 156 kickoffs in week one, I think half of those took place in the Baltimore-Buffalo game. More than 75% of them were returned.
Okay.
So that marks the highest single week return rate in 15 years. The last time that many kicks were returned in a single week, the last game, of the 2010 season.
So the threat of being on the 35-yard line is enough.
Yep, it feels. That's what the numbers say.
The coaches were like, "No, that's too many yards for us to not." And it does make it more active.
Sure,
it becomes a complete tune out for kicking game if nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Well, how many do you think we're going to see this year?
What's that?
Returns, like all the way back returns.
4.5.
You heard it here first, it's ladies and gentlemen. On Underdog, go check out the
ooh,
play.
You know what? That's a good question. I need to see if they have that play. They have plays for everything, so probably. They have plays for things I've never even heard of. So I look it up. I was like, I don't even know what that is. So, yeah, keep an eye out on that. I think you've just seen it incrementally change. Like, way back in the day when it was at the 20, you're like, meh, who cares? 25. But you just, they kept moving it, and now you're to the point at the 35. And you think about it.
They could have just gone to the 50 and been like, all right, now what? And everybody would be like, well.
And then the Cowboys really would just set up for a field goal straight away what happened with Brandon Aubrey. Let's go from that to, hey, who are you rooting for tonight?
Us as humans first.
Okay, well, actually, that. Probably
not
is
the Mariners or the Astros,
pretty
that's for sure.
necessary right now. But I meant more specifically between Green Bay and Washington, the game on Prime Video. Obviously, the Cowboys have a vested interest in, whether it's division-wise, draft pick-wise, both of these teams.
I'm not rooting for Washington. Oh, man, I'm really rooting for us in this. Do we get a good game? And I know you hate the idea of, I just hope everybody has fun.
That's in my regular life.
Yeah. But this is one of those where I'm like, I hope we get a Baltimore Buffalo type game, where it's just wild chaos the entire time and you don't know what to expect. And we've been fortunate enough to get two of those already to start the season. So that's awesome. But I guess ultimately for the final victory, I'm kind of pulling for Green Bay here because I know that it kind of costs with the draft pick. I get that. But you asked me the other day, did Micah put them over the top? I told you I felt like they were already a really good team.
Yeah.
This puts them in not just high playoff status, but Super Bowl status. And I kind of want to be right about that. But,
okay.
And plus, I don't want Washington to have any more legs up in the division. But the Cowboys have a long road to get to the top of the division anyway.
Now, by the way, speaking of the Cowboys, Tyler Guyton has been fined $12,172 for a play in which he wasn't even penalized. He also, I mean.
He clubbed a man.
I know.
And it was awesome.
I was going to say, you know the play that it happened
I wish
on.
We could do a GoFundMe for his fine because, that was awesome.
Well, the good news is, as a first-round draft pick, he can probably afford it. But secondly, he also plans on appealing the fines.
All right, so we'll wait on the GoFundMe.
We will see. Now, things have gone from bad to worse in the Brock Purdy situation. So, over the span of the last 24 hours, it's gone a little something like this. Kyle Shanahan said yesterday that Brock Purdy wouldn't practice because of his toe and shoulder injuries, and they viewed him as a long shot to play. Then that turned into John Lynch saying, our report on Brock Purdy right now is week to week. There are other reports that say he'll be out between 2 to 5 weeks. So that does kind of fit the week-to-week narrative. Are you ready to catch Mac Jones fever?
Oh, man, will that make my Mac Jones rookie card go
theoretically,
up?
Yes.
It's a form of turf toe is the line, right? And doesn't that come down to your ability to play through it?
Yeah.
Like Deion played a couple, quarters and then would be like, I got to go get a shot or something. So I do think it's really about that pain. So we don't know when it'll come back. But Mac Jones has looked good when he's replaced quarterbacks before. I always go back to Shanahan does run a pretty good offense, and it's pretty understandable, makes it pretty easy for quarterbacks to see and make happen. So I'm not really ready and prepared to say that it's just going to, thumbs up, it's going to rock, but I hope he throws a lot of interceptions.
There can be a couple of different things involved with this next story. The Micah Parsons Packers debut with the Packers defeating the Lions earned a viewership rating of 23.9 million viewers. It was the most watched week one game for the NFL on CBS since 1998.
Really?
And
CBS is kind of a boring station.
You know what? Actually, I think that a lot. Whenever I see their commercials, I'm like, I'm not 65.
Look, everybody
but if
loves
you are,
Raven,
I hope you enjoy
Two and a Half Men. All those shows were very canned and easy, right? It just seemed a little boring.
And like Jag.
Yeah.
What was that show about?
Easy show.
All right. But to go along with that, so there's a few things at play. The intrigue of Micah being on another team certainly had something to do with it. The start of the new season, the fact that there was a marquee matchup. And then we've talked about this quite a bit, the fact that the NFL sat down with a Nielsen Corporation and supposedly they came out of the meeting and said they would have a more accurate reading of their game. That didn't pay off in the opening game with the Cowboys because they had a more than an hour delay. And then you were looking at a number that was fine, and that's about it. But big win for CBS right there.
Do we, you know how like in ours, it's broken down every quarter hour,
right?
Do they have the same thing with TV and football?
Yes. I know
the Cowboys like first hour or first quarter. I wonder if that was a bigger hit. And then, you know, it took a nosedive, obviously, but I wonder when it was at its peak.
That is a good question. I don't remember offhand. I think they usually release when it was at its peak, but they definitely have quarter hour, but also they have minute by minute ratings you can get in television.
Really?
Yep.
They should do that for.
Yes, I would be inclined to agree with that podcasting as well. All right, quarterback power rankings. Per CBS, who is the worst starting quarterback in all of football? A lot of candidates here.
Man, it seemed like a... You know what? Since everybody's going all after him, I'm going to go with Caleb Williams.
Oh, Caleb Williams, huh? Well, Caleb Williams is doing shockingly fine for CBS. He's only the 20th best.
Okay, all right.
Which is only the 13th worst. Alec, do you care to submit a vote for the worst quarterback, starting quarterback, in all of the lands after one whole week of football?
Is it Spencer Rattler in New Orleans?
Spencer Rattler is only the third worst. Oh. Here are your worst five.
I got an idea.
All right.
Could we see him on Sunday?
Interesting. Interesting question. Fifth worst, Tua, then Flacco, then Spencer Rattler. So we're two, the worst two.
Zach only threw for 188 yards. Okay. No touchdowns. And
stop
could
it.
Could we see him on Sunday?
He should have had maybe two touchdowns. Second worst, Bryce Young.
What? Really?
First, he had
11 fantasy points.
That whole thing did not look good for Carolina in that game.
I'll believe it.
The worst quarterback of them all.
Danger.
Russell Wilson. By the way, Dak Prescott went up from 13 to 10 in CBS's ratings.
Really? Dude, it is seriously wild to me how he looked good. The stats don't tell a good story at all.
I agree.
You say he should have had two touchdowns, maybe another third one.
Yeah.
But that's fascinating how everybody around goes, hey, man, Dak looked really good. Even like the rest of the country saw the same thing, despite the numbers.
Who is the top quarterback?
I'm going to have to go with Josh Allen.
That makes sense. And he is number one, followed by Lamar Jackson. They flip spots. Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, and Jordan Love
Herbert,
at number five.
Four?
Yeah. He had a heck of a game. In your face, Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
He's only number 15 on their list.
Four touchdowns.
Yeah. And this is the thing about power rankings. If you're going off of just one week, I kind of feel like he should be in the top five. Do I think he would stay there? Absolutely not. By the way, the NFL did confirm that it has commenced a personal conduct policy review of Tyreek Hill after accusations of domestic violence. At the same time, the Dolphins are supposedly rejecting trade calls about Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, who do you fear from the Giants and where do the Cowboys hold an advantage? Let's do that next right here on The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.